Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
In Las Vegas, a teen murder suspect hunted for over a year is found sitting in his high school class. In Texas, a man is arrested after a hiker's remains are found near a trail. And in Wisconsin, a man is arrested in the 1985 murder and decapitation of a college student. These stories and more coming at you today, Thursday, October 3rd, on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton. They lied last week, or they just got it wrong again. They said it wasn't going to get out of the 80s, and it got in the 90s. Yeah. And they're saying the same thing this week, starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're right.
Hopefully.
And it'd be in the 60s at nighttime, which is really, really nice and cool.
Yeah, man.
And that's it. Let's get on some true crime time for Thirsty Thursday.
Well, we're going to start out in Las Vegas, and a teenager from Las Vegas has been taken into custody at his high school nearly a year after he was involved in the fatal shooting of a marijuana dealer. Laquan Harrison, who is 19, is facing several serious charges, including murder, and also a legal term that encompasses both first and second degree murder, as well as unlawful discharge of a firearm. The police report indicates that a tragic incident occurred on October 23rd of 2023 when a 19-year-old Angel Solis was shot while sitting in his car in a parking lot. The confrontation was reportedly the result of a scheduled drug deal. Officers discovered a handgun and two bags of marijuana inside Solis's vehicle, providing crucial evidence to the case. Witness accounts reveal that Solis had arranged the marijuana sale through Instagram. Holy crap, man. You know, these freaking social media sites now are used for drug deals. He's arranging the sale through Insta.
Right.
He was instructed to meet the buyers in a specific location within the parking lot. After successfully selling a bag of marijuana to the individuals, they left the scene but returned moments later, opening fire on Solis's car. Following the shooting, law enforcement officials conducted a search of Harrison's residence situated close to the crime scene, and during the search, they uncovered a gun box and a cleaning kit, as well as evidence on his phone indicating he had searched for information regarding the Boulder Highway shooting just a day after the incident. Harrison was arrested during this operation. Initially, he denied any involvement in the crime, but later modified his statement, suggesting that another individual was present and that he fled the scene upon hearing gunfire. Notably, he provided police with information that had not been made public, further deepening that investigation. Messages retrieved from Harrison's phone indicated he was inquiring whether everyone was good and discussed plans to dispose of a firearm shortly after the shooting, obviously pointing to his potential involvement. The investigation was bolstered by surveillance footage and data from multiple Instagram accounts, including communications in which Harrison allegedly referenced intentions to commit a robbery. Harrison's arrest took place during a night class at his high school, and he is currently being held without bail. A preliminary hearing is set for October 7th, but a year later, and they find him in his high school class.
Yeah, just getting his education on.
Just getting his education on, and apparently not too hard to find. But, you know, this was a drug deal, and I would imagine it doesn't carry the same priority as, a citizen that was not in the act of committing a crime, and someone just breaks in their house and kills them.
Yeah.
That's probably going to get a higher priority than a drug deal gone bad.
Yeah.
Sadly,
well,
I mean,
and
but
they probably, I don't know. I can't speculate on it, but the at least they got him, right?
Yeah.
And that's a victim.
We never thought to just go to school.
Right, and check to see if he's there.
It's always the last place you look.
Yeah, well, he can get his GED in the Nevada penitentiary.
Yeah.
Right? Well, and I'm sure he'll make a fine trustee somewhere someday.
Yes.
So we talked a lot this week about Wisconsin. And it's my people, y'all know that. But so let's go back to 1985. Michael Raymond Pop faces a first-degree murder charge in connection with a 1985 killing of 24-year-old Terry Dowley. Okay. Nearly 40 years after authorities discovered the charred and decapitated body of a missing college student in Wisconsin, an arrest has been made, right?
It's a good thing.
All right. And so Michael Raymond Pop, now 60, holy shit, of Toma, Wisconsin. That's where I go.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's where Shane lives. And was arrested on Monday, September 23rd, and charged with one count of first-degree murder in connection with the killing of 24-year-old Terry Dowley. Monroe County District Attorney Kevin Croninger and Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson announced this. They announced it at a press conference on September 24. Authorities said Pop is being held in the Vernon County Jail and faces life in prison if convicted of the murder charge. It's unclear if he's entered a guilty plea or retained an attorney. Dowley was a senior at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, which is about 45 minutes from Tomy, y'all, studying finance when she vanished in the early morning hours of February 14th, 1985, Valentine's Day, right? She was reported missing by her fiancé, Russell Lee, whom she had lived with at the Bostwick Valley Trailer Court in Bar Mills, Wisconsin, where she had left her purse and car. Her dog was also missing, and authorities opened a missing persons investigation. At the time of her disappearance, Dowley worked full-time as a bar manager, that's Wisconsin, at an upscale restaurant in La Crosse, Wisconsin, known as Piggy's. Okay, I don't think we've been there, Shane. But 4 days later, on February 18th, 1985, the Vernon County Sheriff's Department responded to a location about 6 miles south of La Crosse after receiving a report of something burning in a culvert. Well, it turned out to be the body of Dowley, who was found decapitated and burned with the use of accelerant gasoline, y'all. Her head has never been located in decades past without any arrest.
Yeah.
But according to a criminal complaint filed in Vernon County Circuit Court, authorities said Pop, who would have been 21 at the time of the killing, knew Dowley and lived near the couple. The complaint states that Pop, his girlfriend, Dowley, and Lee all went to pool tournaments together, and he had visited Dowley and Lee's trailer on multiple occasions. And it wasn't until January of 2023 that through a search warrant, Pop's DNA, taken from a buccal swab, was tested and matched the seminal fluid collected from Dowley's body during an autopsy back in 1985.
Mm.
Right? So he was identified as a person of interest in September of 2022 after authorities claimed that genealogy testing of the evidence taken from Dowley's body was a match for Pop. Now, while speaking with investigators, Pop claimed he only saw Dowley a few times and he didn't really know her that well. Well, when investigators asked him why his buccal swab DNA was a match for the semen found inside Dowley's body, he responded, maybe had a little affair for 6 to 8 months. And asked why he declined to previously share that information, Pop said, well, it's a pretty serious case there. Didn't want to be associated with it. And Pop denied killing Dowley, saying, no, I'm not a violent person.
Mm.
Yeah, man. You know, the DNA, really, like I said, we got to use it in my time and shit like that. But the the not like they do now, but you know, you investigators got that dude sitting in the room, be like, it's 1985 case, 40 years ago.
40 years ago.
Just, I mean, know that you lived in the same trailer park. This is how I would have done it. Same trailer park. And did you know her? I seen her once or twice. Yeah. Okay. So there's, yeah, that's it. And no serious relationship. No, just barely knew her at all. You ever been intimate with her? Motherfucker, we got your old semen inside of her. Explain that.
Boom.
There you go.
No explanation.
Drop the hammer, motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's 40 years of freedom. Cut her head off. God only knows what he'd do with that. 40 years of freedom. 40 Christmases. 40 birthdays. 40 Thanksgivings. 40 hunting seasons. This motherfucker got to walk for free.
Yeah. And amazing 40 years ago, and they had the forethought to save all the things that they save relative to DNA.
Shit was
science back then. It wasn't
like maybe get a blood type or whatever off of it. I mean, that thank God they saved.
Yeah. They did that with a lot of cases. It's amazing.
Truly amazing what they're doing now. And I hate it. I think Courtney Coco's family, actually her, and I hate to say the word, but her murderversary is this week on the 5th. And all those years, 18 years waiting for justice. These people have been waiting for 40 years.
I'm glad to see him finally get it.
Yeah, me too. Fuck him.
All right, we're going to bring you to Texas.
Texas.
And we're going to tell you about a significant breakthrough in a case of a missing 63-year-old woman whose remains were discovered along a hiking trail. The Bexar County Sheriff's Office has arrested a 38-year-old man in relation to that incident. And it was during a press conference that Sheriff Javier Salazar, he provided details of the case. He said that the woman, identified as Stacy Dramiga, was reported missing on the night of September 22nd. Her husband alerted the authorities after she did not return home from a hike. Known for her love of the outdoors, Dramiga frequently embarked on solo hiking trips. Would not recommend that. With her last known destination being the trails near DeFoste Park. The search for Dramiga intensified when friends of the family took it upon themselves to look for her. Their efforts led to the discovery of her vehicle, which was found locked and unattended near Covington Park. This prompted them to notify law enforcement, who subsequently utilized technology to track Dramiga's phone. A dedicated search team ultimately located her remains in a wooded area. Sheriff Salazar has indicated that investigators suspect the remains belong to Dramiga, although formal identification is still pending. Early assessments suggest that she did not simply fall off the trail.
Right.
Rather, evidence points to foul play, categorizing the case as a homicide. An autopsy has revealed that the cause of death was blunt force penetrating trauma to the head. That raises serious concerns about the circumstances. And in a related development, a guy by the name of Marco Flores, was the individual arrested in connection with the case. He faces charges of evading arrest and detention, and reports suggest that Flores possessed information pertinent to the investigation. But when law enforcement attempted to question him, he fled the scene. Well, that's a good clue that he might know something, right? He has since been booked into the Bexar County Jail. There's not a whole lot of further details regarding his relationship with Dramiga. And so to tell you a little bit about her, she was a dedicated professional. She served as the director of cardio rehabilitation at a military installation. And so she was a professional that just wanted to go on a hike, ends up, her remains are found. This guy's arrested, and the investigation continues to try to bring justice to that family.
I hope they get it. You know, she's out there just trying to blow off some steam.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't hike by yourself.
You hike by yourself, carry a pistol and have your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
instead of her head being penetrated, his head could have got penetrated. It's horrible. Nobody deserves to be murdered, Bexar County, Texas. Stupid. Well, you know, Jimmy, we always hate dirty cops and teachers and all that shit. And I got another one for you. All right. There's a lady named Jessica Lawson, and she was arrested in November of 2023. You might ask why. Well, this is after she allegedly told a teen to drive her car because she was too drunk. She's a teacher, by the way. So she's an Idaho's high school teacher, and she was sentenced to at least 2 years in prison and could serve up to 20 after pleading guilty to sexual battery of a child. Mm-hmm. Jessica Lawson, 36, pled guilty to two counts of that charge as part of the plea agreement. As part of the agreement, a judge dismissed charges of dispensing alcohol to a minor and delivering a controlled substance. This is a fucking teacher, y'all. Lawson was arrested in St. Anthony, Idaho in November of 2023 after she was sitting in the passenger seat of a car being driven by a teenage boy that they got pulled over by the police. And police alleged that Lawson had instructed the boy to drive because she was too inebriated. Okay, right? So the car was pulled over because of a broken taillight. And police alleged that the boy admitted to having marijuana. Now, the East Idaho News reported that the boy's parents told police that Lawson had picked up their son the night before, and he admitted to having been given alcohol and marijuana before the two had sex.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that's rape. Police then interviewed the boy, and he said that the two had sex. Now, Lawson is a former teacher at South Fremont High School. She will serve a minimum of 2 years in prison. She was also given that 20-year sentence in a no-contact order with the victim.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Look, here's a picture.
Yep. I'm familiar with that.
Yeah. It's just do it. Do it too.
You were having sex with the kid and then you're drinking and stuff like that. And you say, hey, can you drive? Yeah. Because I'm too drunk.
I'm too fucked up. Can you drive?
At least she was smart enough to do that and not try to, you know, get behind the wheel drunk and kill somebody.
Especially how much that goes on. We cover it all the time, but it's just crazy, dude. Crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, we'll go to Michigan, and a Michigan judge named Kenneth King becomes the talk of the town online after a bizarre incident involving a sleepy teen in his courtroom. Ooh, I heard about that. So back in August, he made headlines for putting a 15-year-old girl in handcuffs and a jail uniform just because she dozed off during a field trip inside of his courtroom. Now, that incident took place after a visit from local school kids, courtesy of an environmental nonprofit. While the judge was delivering his courtroom wisdom, the girl couldn't keep her eyes open, and instead of giving her a gentle nudge, Judge King took a different route. He felt her sleepy demeanor was a sign of disrespect and decided to give her a reality check. It wasn't really about her sleeping, he said. It was more about her attitude that bothered me, he later explained. He likened his actions to a modern-day version of Scared Straight, the old-school program where kids get a taste of prison life to steer them clear of trouble. But here's the twist. After the incident, King was quickly reassigned. Now, instead of rolling over serious criminal cases, he's tackling the world of traffic tickets. So this judge who once made a team wear a prison outfit is now the go-to guy for speeding violations and parking mishaps. Now, for the teen, her family isn't letting this slide. They filed a federal lawsuit against the judge, claiming malicious prosecution and all sorts of emotional distress. Her mom shared that the girl was just exhausted due to an unstable living situation at the time. We bounce around because we don't have a permanent address, she explained. As Judge King gears up for his new gig in traffic court, we can't help but wonder if he'll approach those cases with the same intensity he did with that sleepy teen. But he is making tons of news. Boy, as he's reassigned.
My kid in handcuffs and a jail uniform in front of all the other kids.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have the right. And look, I know so many judges. I got so many of them in myself I call right now. And most of them are cool as hell. But you know what? There are some crazy motherfucking judges out there. I've seen some stupid shit.
There's one that was just removed from the bench in Baton Rouge that has done some really stupid shit.
But just like judges, just like police officers, sometimes people get that position of power and it just goes to their head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they, a lot of great judges, more great 100%. Than bad. And
Lance Ito?
Yeah.
Judge Judy.
How about Judge Wapner?
Judge Wapner. Oh, that was the best right there.
One that started it all.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, y'all. One thing I've learned in 16 years of being with my wife is that PMS and menopause are a very real deal. Thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hey, do you experience cravings or bloating? Do you feel a little bit down or off? Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience bad sleep quality? Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, promotes healthy weight loss, and curbs carb cravings. It improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas, and it relieves hot flashes, and it relieves mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through premenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, and Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and the occasional bloating and gas. Or no desire to be intimate with someone, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar, is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, my wife says, is feeling like herself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
Hey, y'all. Changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band. for $59.90, and it's heavy duty. It's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got a 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater in heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later. Well, that store was in Michigan, right?
It was.
Well, I'm going to take you back to Michigan again. And there's a dude named Jarvis Butts, B-U-T-T-S. I got that name correct. He's 41 years old, and he targeted and befriended women to have sexual relationships with their young daughters.
Oh.
And this is according to Wayne County, Michigan prosecutor Kim Worthy. A 13-year-old Michigan girl vanished after getting off the bus in January. Now authorities arrested a man they say raped her and killed her after she became pregnant. Okay. On Thursday, September 26th, Wayne County prosecutor Kim Worthy announced that Jarvis Butts, 41, of Highland Park, was arrested in connection with the death and disappearance of Nazia Harris. It's crazy. Said, today we are charging Jarvis Butts with one count of first degree premeditated murder, one count of criminal sexual conduct in the second degree, and one count of child sexually abusive material, Worthy said. We are also charging Mr. Butts with more counts of criminal sex conduct on two more girls. Yes, girls. In two other separate cases, she said. The alleged victims are now 20 and 13 years old, respectively, but both were under 13 when the crimes took place. Mr. Butts targeted and befriended women to have sexual relationships with their young daughters. He would have relationships with their mothers, but his true desire was to have sex with their young daughters. That's what the evidence will show. He was a classic, an expert groomer and pedophile, she continued. And it's incredibly sad and incredibly unspeakable, and we want to bring justice to her and her family. Now, Nazia was last seen on January 9th, about a quarter mile from her home. Her grandmother reported her missing that day when she failed to return home from school. The young girl's remains have not yet been found, but Worthy said the evidence shows overwhelmingly in this case that she is deceased. Text messages show that Nazia met up with Butts on the day she disappeared, this coordinate prosecutor Worthy. People he knew well also saw the two together in several different locations, Worthy said. We have evidence that at 9:30 p.m. on that day that Mr. Butts checked into a motel and Nazia was never seen or heard from again. Speaking about a selfie Nazia took shortly before she vanished, Worthy said she is smiling and waving and saying hello, but little did she know that she was really saying goodbye. Worthy later added, you look at that face and you do not see the horrors that she had gone through in her short life, the exploitation, the molestations, the sexual abuse, and the pregnancy she was concealing. Butts has children with Nazia's aunt. That's according to the prosecutor's office. He allegedly began sending sexually explicit text messages to Nazia starting in September of 2022, and she sent sexually explicit photographs of herself in return. In November of 2023, the evidence shows that Butts knows that she is pregnant. His phone records show that he searches online about abortions, abortion pills, and drinking
red antifreeze.
Mm.
That's a new one for me. Butts are being held in the Wayne County Jail on a $250,000 bond, and he's got some other charges. Damn, man.
Drinking antifreeze. What the fuck?
You know what they didn't say? You know what? That story can't be true. Well, no, they did. He did have child porn because she sent some pictures to him. But certain people say they researched every case in time. There's been no pedophiles that have been arrested that didn't have child porn, but I guess he did have some. So
yeah.
But anyway, that's horrible. What about red antifreeze? What's up with that?
Oh, man.
I mean, because
I didn't know you could drink that and live.
Well, yeah, I know.
I only drink green antifreeze.
Yeah, people used to poison dogs with antifreeze,
right?
Back in the day, but then they put the color and the smell to it, so it's like dogs won't drink it or whatever.
Right.
I don't even know what the fuck red antifreeze is.
Well, there is a red antifreeze that one of them is there's something to do with the type of vehicle you got or the way that it's mixed. And someone on here will know and tell us, but. I have seen red antifreeze.
Yeah.
Huh. But to tell you exactly what the difference between that and the green is, I don't know.
I don't know why one would call it pregnancy and not death.
Right. Well, let's go to California.
Right.
And we'll talk about a death. So here's the latest from the world of crime and punishment in California. A brutal incident unfolded at the Calipatria State Prison in Southern California, where a 46-year-old inmate by the name of Alberto Martinez met a tragic end at the hands of fellow prisoners. 1:23 p.m. on last Thursday, prison staff spotted 25-year-old Tyler Lua throwing punches at Martinez. Things quickly escalated, and Martinez hit the ground, and that's when Lua decided to keep going. He was landing blows while Martinez was down, but he wasn't alone in this chaos. Two other inmates, Jorge Larios and Luis Beltran, they jumped in to join the fray and turned it into a brutal group assault. Thankfully, prison staff intervened before things got even worse. They used pepper spray and baton strikes to break it up. But tragically, Martinez was already in rough shape. He was rushed to the prison triage area, but was pronounced dead just after 2:20 that day. Martinez wasn't just any inmate. He was on death row for first-degree murder. His past was pretty intense. He was known as a significant player in the Mexican mafia, involved in some pretty nasty stuff, including orchestrating murders while locked up. So he's been sentenced to death. He had been sentenced to death, and while also serving a life term for attempted murder with gang enhancements. His infamous reputation didn't stop there. He was known to communicate with a woman from Mexico through an illegal cell phone while behind bars. In the wake of this incident, authorities discovered two makeshift weapons at the scene. Fortunately, no staff or other inmates were harmed during that brawl, and the prison has since limited movement in the yard where the fight occurred, and the three attackers have been placed in restrictive housing while the investigation unfolds.
Yeah.
So a mafia member of the Mexican mafia is dead after that beating, and I bet there'll be some payback on that if he's indeed Mexican mafia member.
I got a newsflash for people. Prisons are not nice places.
No?
I mean, it is what it is. The motherfuckers in on the death penalty charges and serving another life sentence, what they got to lose by
hitting
somebody else, right?
Well, that's right.
Give me another death penalty case, right? I deserve it, but.
Well, in this case, he was the one to get killed.
Right.
You know, so. Oh, yeah.
That'd be payback.
I'm sure they were all lifers as well. And yeah, there'll be payback for that. There's going to be a lot more to come on it.
And all that good shit. I don't know, live by a sword, die by a sword, right? So let me ask you, I mean, you told us about
you getting arrested in a past episode.
Yep.
For whatever. And, you know, I don't know.
It was a bullshit charge, yeah. Woody. It was a bullshit charge.
You got me a bad Sarge. That's what they say.
It wasn't even me.
Oh, yeah. So you didn't have to go to court or
anything. A different James. Well, I went to see the judge to get my bail set. And that's when they figured out, oh, this ain't the same James Chapman.
Okay. So they got you wrong. They got you mad. For real.
They really did get me bad.
They get you mad. All right, so
I wasn't even the right race.
Let me give you a hypothetical. Right. They couldn't even, they had one job to get it that
way. Yeah.
Let me ask you a hypothetical situation. So you get in trouble. Let's say back in the day, Woody Overton arrests you for whatever. And you, I mean, it was a good charge. They didn't have you bad.
Right? All right.
And so you're going, you got your big day in courts coming up. Not your arraignment. You've already done that.
Mm.
And you go in, you're facing this kind of bullshit charge. It's nothing really that major. And I mean, what do? Just go in and face the music?
If I did do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. I'm a man. I'll take my fucking medicine.
Even if you didn't do it, you go in and fight your case, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about this asshole. This just genius. He was facing some court charges, right? And so he goes to the Santa Barbara Superior Court. Yeah. Now he's already facing some cases, but he's got an arraignment now, so he's got to plead guilty or not guilty, right? In another case. So, and his name is Nathaniel James McGuire. He's 20 years old. He didn't really want to be there.
Mm.
He wasn't appreciative. So he showed up with a homemade bomb.
There you go.
Right? So a 20-year-old man doing court for an arraignment in a firearms case bombed the courthouse in an effort to kill court officials.
Oh, my God.
Nathaniel James McGuire is charged with malicious damage to a building by means of an explosive. They had redacted federal complaints. Y'all, this has come from. The complaint alleges that he bombed the courthouse with an intention to kill the deputies working at the security desk. And he also had plans to kill a judge. In a statement, Akil Davis, assistant director in charge of the FBI Los Angeles field office, called the Wednesday incident a blatant act of violence designed to do harm and to avoid justice. Well, I guess if you're blowing up the fucking courthouse, you don't have to go for your arraignment. But around 8:48 a.m., ahead of his Wednesday, the September 25th arraignment, the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office says they received a report of an explosion at the Santa Barbara Superior Court after McGuire allegedly threw a bag which exploded in the hallway at the screening station. Now, at least five people were injured in the bombing, according to feds. Three people sustained non-life-threatening injuries, including burns. All five people had been treated and released from the hospital later that day. But the deputy saw McGuire enter the courthouse and yell, "Liberty or death!" as he threw the bomb. Was part of the affidavit, which, right?
Jeez.
And then he fled on foot. He ran like a little bitch. So McGuire was detained by law enforcement as he was trying to access a red Ford Mustang outside the courthouse. Inside the sedan, the deputy saw ammunition, a flare gun, and a box of fireworks. And the affidavit claims that McGuire yelled that the government had taken his guns and that everyone needs to fight, rise up, and rebel. A later search of McGuire's vehicle revealed a shotgun, rifle, ammunition, and check this out, bro, 10, not 9, 10 Molotov cocktails. Now, authorities also recovered a suspected improvised explosive device, which they described in the affidavit as a can wrapped in duct tape containing black powder, nails, black being gunpowder, y'all, black powder with nails glued to the outside.
Wow.
This motherfucker had it on his mind, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. McGuire later told authorities that he had purchased nails at Home Depot that Monday, September 23rd, That's part of the affidavit. And that he had a list of grievances and goodbyes on his laptop. Inside his bedroom, the FBI found an empty metal can with nails glued to the outside, a duffel bag containing matches, black powder, and used and unused fireworks, and papers that appeared to have recipes for explosive energetic material. McGuire, this was kind of a giveaway, McGuire was wearing body armor under his jacket when he was apprehended.
Well, there
according to the sheriff's office, right? And the sheriff's
office. You don't exactly just wear that. Yeah. Come on. Unless you're a police officer.
Right. And so the sheriff's office released a mugshot featuring a 20-year-old with several gashes near his right eye. Santa Barbara deputies previously arrested and charged McGuire for possession of a loaded and concealed revolver that was not registered to him. And they said Wednesday that they were working with local firefighters to explore if the suspect is associated with several recent arson fires. McGuire was initially booked in Northern Branch of Santa Barbara County Jail on felony charges, including an attempted murder, manufacturing explosive device, and use an explosive device for attempted murder. He is whatever. He's doing court and all that bullshit, right? And what a fight, bro.
Yeah.
Had it on his mind. I mean, yeah, courthouses are probably one of the most dangerous places you can go to be.
Well, you just, we just reported about the judge getting shot by the sheriff inside the chambers in the courthouse.
When I started in law enforcement, there were no metal detectors. You didn't have deputies make you take all your shit off and walk through and all that stuff. Can you believe that? That's how far we're coming 30 years.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, like Courtney Cuoco's trial, the deputies knew me. I was there every day, and you go in for lunch breaks, coming in and out, and in the end, they would just wave me around. But this motherfucker, you know, you come in the security station, you already been to the courthouse, and you go walk in with a bomb and throw it and say, liberty or death.
Yeah.
What a
crazy people in this world, man.
Idiot.
Want that liberty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they going to get it?
Are you going to get it?
All right, we're going to go to Louisiana, and I'm going to tell you about a FedEx driver that was recently arrested. This delivery driver was arrested after she allegedly stole something she was set to deliver. 24-year-old Kayla Wheeler was arrested after authorities reviewed photos of a package that was delivered to a home in early August. The person awaiting the package noticed that the iPad she was waiting for was removed and missing from the package, and that is when she alerted authorities, the East Feliciana Parish Sheriff's Office, and the investigation began. Police were able to determine that Wheeler, who worked for FedEx at the time of the delivery, removed the device from the package and then stole it. She was arrested for theft under $1,000. Must have been a cheap iPad. Yeah. Remember, when ordering anything online, to track your package, y'all. And it's pretty interesting that now you can actually, I had a package that was pretty valuable come in the other day, and they take a picture of the package on your doorstep where they leave, which is cool. But if they steal it from inside the package, the picture, don't do you no good. And then you're going to be calling Apple saying my iPad wasn't in there. And they're going to be like, whatever. Yeah. We've never shipped a box with no iPad in it. And you'd be like, I'm not lying.
I had to deal with that case. The package coming from wherever, way far off, and high dollar shit, and wasn't insured. And you can see from the point where it was dropped off, turned in, they scan it. And then it goes to whatever facility and they scan it. And then it gets on whatever plane at whatever time and they scan it. And then so let's say the next location is Memphis, where the plane's going to land. And gets to Memphis and it says, waiting on package. And motherfuckers got it because they got it at the other place on the other end, and they scanned it that it went on the plane to Memphis, but Memphis never got it off the plane.
Right.
And putting insurance on it would have been cost prohibitive for the profit that was going to be made off the package.
Right.
Yeah, so just got fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in this case, fortunately, the person got caught. I just can't believe they, you know, especially the employees, they know how this stuff works. They know everything's tracked. And I guess they felt like they were going to just say, hey, I guess it wasn't in the package.
Yep.
You know, it's Apple's
write
fault.
Write it out and file yeah. another thing. And
well, she got popped.
Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions, affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it. And it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's join, joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life. Hey, y'all, you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to become curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. Look, we homeschool our son. No doubt about it. He's more of a visual learner, and we use IXL, and Cindy teaches him, and there are so many different benefits to the program. It adapts to exactly what he needs in different areas. So IXL is the perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum. IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational games, lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead like our son, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. Kids love IXL's positive feedback awards and educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And don't forget, Real Life Real Crime listeners get 20% off. Y'all, we really do use this product, and it's been a godsend.
She got popped.
Like a balloon.
He's Feliciano Paris. I bet that was Kevin Garrett, head of the detectives now. We called him Kool-Aid when we were in the academy together. He was the youngest dude in the class. So I'm going to tell you one more, Jim. This is just kind of crazy. I don't even know how to preface this. You know what magic mushrooms are?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Hallucinogens, right?
Yep.
So two middle schoolers overdosed on some magic mushrooms, and then a man was arrested. So posing as one of the kids who had bought the hallucinogens, Colorado Springs police organized a fake mushroom sale to apprehend 21-year-old Damian Lee Solano. Now, school day was disrupted at Colorado Middle School earlier this week after two students ingested the psychobilling mushrooms they allegedly bought from a local dealer who's now behind bars. The two Fox Meadow middle schoolers were rushed to the hospital Tuesday, September 24th. That's according to Colorado Springs Police Department. Damian Lee Solano, 21, was booked into the El Paso County Jail and held on $50,000 bond. He's charged with four felony counts of unlawful distribution of a controlled substance, one felony count of an attempted sale, and four misdemeanor counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Christine O'Brien, a spokesperson for District 2 Harris County Schools, says that both students were treated and released to family with resources to support them, adding that the district is supporting the students and family as they return to school and learning. Now, while the school disrupted the characterization of it as an overdose, they disputed it, not disrupted it. They claiming that the students did not lose consciousness or become disoriented. Let's talk about that for a second. We're talking about acid, motherfucker. You're not going to go unconscious.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to be disoriented. You might be going, ooh, you see the colors and shit. But anyway, trying to play it down. But Caitlin Ford of the police department said that the students experienced adverse health effects. I'm pretty sure they were like, I wish this shit would get off of me. Which would be the technical definition of an overdosage. Per the police blotter, during the overdose drug investigation, the detectives learned that four children, ages 12 to 16, had purchased mushrooms from the adult dealer. The kids contacted Solano through the Telegram phone app early Monday evening and met up with Solano at the King Soper's grocery store parking lot. And the students later provided them with a general physical and vehicle description according associated to the dealer. But parents of one of the kids helped detectives recover the remaining mushrooms, provided the student's phone to reinitiate communication with the dealer. Posing as one of the students, the detective began communicating with the dealer and agreed to meet for another narcotics transaction. Police say they were able to draw out the dealer with active communication over Telegram during the undercover purchase. And during the undercover operation, the detective spotted Solano, who they say matched the physical description given by the students, and he was carrying about 2 ounces of psychobilla mushrooms as the detective had ordered on Telegram, and they arrested his ass, and he's in jail.
There you have it.
Selling mushrooms to kids.
Yeah.
Bruh.
What the fuck?
You can't find another customer? You got to sell it to a 12-year-old? I mean, I guess when you do shit like that, your morals aren't exactly high on who you sell.
Yeah, he's
not trying to sell to the rich and famous.
That's right.
Or what's his name? P. Diddy. P. Diddy do drugs or just right?
Oh, dude. He all kinds of shit. Drugs. Yeah, he drugged him with ketamine and all kinds of shit.
Right, for fucking right. Horse tranquilizer. So that's Jim's podcast, Scandalous. Mm-hmm. I'm having things.
You close.
Scandalous Files of the Rich.
The Scandalous Files. Exposed.
Exposed.
Scandalous. Exposed. You almost made me forget my own podcast. Fuck.
Y'all go check it out. Congrats to Jim for hitting top 50 in the world in society and culture on that podcast last week. And it's all about P. Diddy and the other motherfuckers that be fucking up.
And other, yeah, that's right. That's right. We talked about Murdahl too recently, and good podcast, fun to do.
Yep. Y'all go check it out. Anywhere you can find a podcast, expose.
Yeah. Any final thoughts?
No, love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for listening, liking, and sharing all that good podcaster shit.
That's right. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
Woody Everton.
We're your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.